And it's kind of nice to be back. And it seems like I've been gone forever, but it was only 2 weeks. Seems longer. And for those of you who are wondering, yes, I did get the house painted. And Donna's happy with it, so I'm in good. And the neighbors even are pleased with it, so that's even better. This morning, as I said, we're just continuing on where we were in Romans, and it's just really going to point us right here in the direction that we want to go for missions. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, and start with the 23rd verse, or you can just look up on the screen. Romans chapter 15, starting with the 23rd verse, and it says, "But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through, and to have you assist me on my journey there, after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make contributions to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you how it is as live and fresh today as the day it was penned. Because it wasn't inspired by the mind of man, but inspired by you through the working of your Holy Spirit. You gave the words to the writers, and here to Paul, to write, yes, to the Romans, but also to us here today. Father, might we read these words with eyes looking to see how we can apply them to our lives and how what you have for us here affects us today. Father God, I pray for each of the people that are here this morning, that they might know that they met with you today. Father, we pray that your blessing would be upon each of us here. But also, Lord, we pray for your blessing to be upon those of our brothers and sisters who can't be here with us for one reason or another. We think in particular of our brothers and sisters who are home due to sickness or injury. Father, we pray for your healing touch to be upon them. Bring them back to fellowship with us soon. And Lord, for those of our brothers and sisters who are gone traveling with friends and family, Lord, we pray that you would give them good travel mercies and that, again, they too would return soon to be with us, that their trip would be safe and full of blessings, and that they would come back and share how you used them while they were away from us here. Now, Lord, we pray. This morning, I pray for myself that as I come and preach, that your anointing would be upon me, that I might speak your word in truth and in power through the overflow of the Holy Spirit within me. Lord, that I pray that your words would encourage your people and that you would be the one lifted up and glorified. Father, we pray all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Three main things I see in this small snippet. I see benevolence, I see missions, and I see fellowship. Paul has been collecting in a couple of the provinces for the poor brothers and sisters in Christ of Jewish ancestry and belief in Jerusalem. And he's getting ready to go there, and he's going to take the gifts from the different churches there to help bless them. Well, why is he doing that? I mean, isn't Jerusalem the mother church? Isn't this where, you know, everything should be? Well, remember at this time, things aren't going so great in Jerusalem. There's been difficulties. The church itself is being persecuted, in particular in Jerusalem. And the Jews are having a difficult time of it also, as the Romans are kind of coming down on them. This is yet before the rebellion, which leads to the destruction of the temple and the full scattering of the church there in Jerusalem. But things are not good there. And there's a lot of people who have come to know Christ. And just as in Islam, today, Jews then, if somebody came to follow the Messiah, quite often they were like, "You're doing what?" And the family would then kind of pull back. And so the family resources are not available to the people. So Paul was bringing this to them from the churches, the young churches. And these churches were happy to do so. They were pleased, it says, to give. It's not like, "Oh no, we got to dig out the wallet one more time." Sometimes we get that way or we feel that way when we're asked to give. But their attitude was, they were pleased that they had an opportunity to help those who were in part responsible for the gospel that they had received and had of their own. Why are they responsible? Well, one, they're Jews. And Jews, for so long, had been the keepers of the faith. That the Jews were God's chosen people. They were the ones from whom God chose to bring us the Messiah. Jesus was born of Mary, who was a Jew, of the line of David, Jews. And the Ten Commandments and the God and all that came from Moses, you know, who was before they knew they were Jews. Or no, Moses wasn't, but Abraham was before they were Jews. People of Abraham. I mean, that whole set. These are, and they're giving to those who need help from this. And they say, "Yes, we want to help them because we've been blessed." And they also wanted to help them because they were brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's an opportunity to do that. So this benevolence, we see this in the early church as a foundational principle. We see it as we read Acts. We see about how they assigned deacons whose purpose was to see to it that the widows and the orphans and the poor were taken care of and were fed. There seemed to be a lot of them in Jerusalem in this group. Especially Hellenistic Jews were having difficulty because they didn't, again, they're far away from their family. They were people who had come, and for one reason or another, now they family's not there. They don't have that. You know, right now we think of somebody needs help. Well, you call the government and you say, you know, well, they need Social Security or they need food stamps. Or, you know, there wasn't any of that. It was the family that provided any assistance that somebody needed, possibly the temple. The temple was supposed to, but obviously somebody who's following Jesus isn't going to be getting a lot of temple help. The temple wasn't real pleased with what Jesus was teaching. So, we see benevolence. And we see that they were pleased. Those who were helping weren't just doing it out of a sense of obligation, though they did feel some obligation because they had benefited from these people, but they were pleased to help them. And these are also the same people who are holding forth the word of Christ there in Jerusalem. Remember, the temple is still there. It has not yet been destroyed, and it's very important that the gospel be preached there. So this benevolence was part of that, and it actually helped with missions. Because, again, Jerusalem was a crossroad city and a lot of people came through it and went out from there. And Paul, he's telling them he's going to be going on another missionary journey. He's heading off for Spain. But before he goes to Spain, he's going to stop and he's going to spend some time with them. And he expects them to help him in this endeavor. He says, I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there. I'm writing you a letter to let you know I'm going to be coming, and when I come, I'm expecting you to help me. I'm going to be going here where the gospel has not yet been presented. I'm leaving this area where I am right now because the gospel has been presented here. There's a church here now to continue the work. I'm going to go someplace where there isn't a church. That's what Paul's telling him. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. The evangelist to the Gentiles. Paul isn't really, as I said before, a real pastoral type guy. He's not the guy who's going to come sit by your bedside and hold your hand while you're sick or do hospital visits. Well, he might, you know, bring healing, you know, through works and powers. He did that kind of thing, but he just wasn't that. He wasn't for giving people second chances. Paul was business. He's coming in. I'm here. I'm here to share the gospel. I'm coming through Rome. And I expect you people to help me go forward to my trip to Spain. And he asks them to join in the struggle. He says, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. Okay, so he's calling pretty strongly here. To join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Now, what is his struggle? What is the struggle that Paul is involved with? Taking the gospel to those who don't have it. And he's saying, I want you to join me in this struggle. Missions. Now, first off, remember, it's a struggle. He's saying, join me in the struggle. Join me in the battle. He's not saying, join me at the country club for tea. He's not saying, join me down at Perkins for a piece of pie and we're just going to have a good time. Say no, join me in the struggle. Through prayer. He's asking for prayer. Anybody here not able to pray? Anybody? No, we're all able to pray. Some of us don't do it quite as often as we should. But we're all able. Shelley, whom I already miss, and I'll miss for a long time, was a wonderful prayer warrior. She could not speak on her own. She could speak through her voice box, through the computer. But she prayed. There isn't any reason why any of us can't pray. And Paul's call here is, join me in the struggle in prayer. See, when we go to prayer, remember what prayer is. Prayer is a dialogue with God. Dialogue, that means as we tell God something and He tells us something. That means we need to be listening to God for directions. Lord, what is it you want me to pray? Now, if I say, Lord, I don't know what to pray, you know, and I never let God get a word in edgewise, you know, I'm not going to know what to pray. But if I read His Word, this is Him talking to us, and if I listen when I pray, He'd say, you know, Bruce, you need to go here maybe in Scripture, or maybe He'll bring up a passage in mind, or maybe He'll tell me something specific. Sometimes the Lord will reveal to you things and you won't know why. Like, you'll feel a sense of urgency for somebody that you need to be praying for them. Anybody here ever feel a sense of urgency to pray for somebody? That's the Lord speaking to you. It's the Holy Spirit asking you to join in the struggle. To join in. Some of these people that you might have been asked to pray for or felt the need to pray for may have been missionaries. Some of them may not. But not all missionaries carry the title. Margie does not carry the title of missionary. She receives no support from the Christian Missionary Alliance. Yet she has probably led more to Christ than some of our missionaries. I wouldn't be surprised. No dent against our missionaries. Why? Because Margie's led a lot of men and women and children to Christ in her life. You know, just this last week, another one. You know, not counting the ones on the phone for Billy Graham, all that, who she's talking. That's missions work. Anytime we're, literally, I say, you know, missions is cross-cultural. Well, what's our culture? Christ. So anybody who's not a Christian would be cross-cultural experience. When we take the gospel message to anywhere, whether home or across the way, across the ocean, it is missions. Now, Paul has primed the Romans for the example of helping him by sharing the good works that these other churches had done in helping him with the church in Jerusalem. He shared with them. He's not asking them for any money for Jerusalem. He says, I got that done, but I'd just like to share that story with you. But I've got another thing I'm coming by, and I'm going to be asking you to help me when I go to Spain. I'm not going to the churches that I was just at where I got help from. I'm coming to you. Go there. See, not everybody does everything. But we all are each supposed to do a part. And we're supposed to see the example of others around us. The good examples were to emulate. The bad examples, we're supposed to take as lessons. Paul is asking us to join in the struggle. Remember, it's a struggle. That means it's not easy. He's telling them that he needs prayer. And he's hoping that the unbelievers in Judea don't throw him in prison. Well, he ends up getting thrown in prison. He knows that he's going to be having difficulties. It's a struggle. That means it's not easy. There's going to be things that don't go according to plan. At least not our plan. Paul had a plan. His plan was to go to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem he was going to go to Rome. Well, he did that, except that he spent 2 years in prison in between. And when he shows up in Rome and showing up in chains versus a missionary on his way to Spain. Now, we do believe he did eventually get to Spain. But we don't have that in writing. Now, Paul is looking for assistance on his journey, basically in prayer. He gives his prayer requests. He tells him, I'm coming, and before I go, and part of what you can do to help me is to refresh me. Spend time with me. We're going to spend some time of refreshing today. How do we do that? That's in fellowship. You see, Paul spent time with these people in these other churches, and they gave, and he went to Jerusalem, and he was going to go to Jerusalem to spend time with them and have fellowship with the believers there and bring the gift, the benevolence, and have fellowship to encourage them and to refresh them. And he was coming to Rome before he goes to Spain, and he was going to spend time with the Christians to be built up and to seek their help, yes, but also to have fellowship and to be encouraged and blessed. You've heard the illustration 100 times, maybe more. But in a fire that's full of coals, hot coals, you take one coal out of the fire and you set it away, and that coal gets cold really fast. But if you take that coal and you stick it back in the fire, it gets hot again really quick. One coal all by itself doesn't a fire make. But a bunch of coals together does. That's fellowship. Just coming together to worship, yes. To praise God, yes. But also to come alongside each other. How you doing? Missed you. What you been doing? Let me show you pictures of my kid. Whatever. Things that are just letting each other know about what's happening in our lives. To help us in the struggle. Because we're not supposed to be struggling alone. Join in the struggle. Join in the struggle to take the gospel to the world. That means we're supposed to be doing it together. The body of Christ, all of us. And all that means, together, all the time. Benevolence, missions, fellowship. This is how Paul is closing Romans here before he gets into his personal greetings. He's reminding everybody to be benevolent, to be generous, to focus on taking the gospel and helping, being part of that struggle, not to become inward focused, but to keep it an outward focus, while at the same time having enough of that side by side so that we're not cold and by ourselves. Paul is coming back to be refreshed because he's been away. He says, I need to come to be with the believers so I can get strong, so I can go out and do the work. And that's what the missionaries are going to be doing. Next week, we're going to have John Yang here. Reverend John Yang, if you don't remember him, was the senior pastor of the Hmong Community Alliance Church for 7.5 years. And then he left to become a missionary, and he's going to come and he's going to talk about his missions work to the Hmong in China. And his time here this year, we send our missionaries on a 5-year rotation. They spend 4 years in the field. Then they spend 1 year at home on home assignment. That home assignment isn't a vacation at all. It's a lot of work, but it's also a time for them to go from church to church to encourage the churches with the stories going on and time of fellowship with the churches. It's also time for them to get recharged and get the energy and the prayers and for us to have that touchstone with each other so we can say, so that he can be reinvigorated and we can be reinvigorated for the mission. Taking the gospel to those who don't have it. So that all the world may profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it. Help us to listen. Lord, help us to be rich in our giving towards others, and especially, Lord, to you who have given us all. Lord, help us to join in to the struggle, to pray for missions, to pray for one another, to give according to your guidance and direction. And Lord, might we fellowship with one another regularly, keeping the fire hot so that we not grow cold to you and in our faith. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we close with our closing hymn, which I forgot.
The name of Jesus with you.